All right. Hi, everybody. Happy Tuesday evening. It's good to be with y'all. Of course, we are here for Gentle Healing Year 3. And as usual, I've collected some stuff, except where did I put my book? I lost my book. It was just here a second ago. That's amazing. That is absolutely amazing. Hold on, let me stand up. I know I stood up just a second ago. There it is. Yeah, I stood up to, it went under the chair. I stood up to open the window, and somehow it must have fallen. My blanket must have hit it, knocked it under the chair, because I knew it was right here beside me. Okay, so before I get into the things that I have collected for the week, I'd like to start by seeing if any of y'all have something that you would like to share from this last week in Gentle Healing. Okay, everybody's looking pretty quiet right now. I got two quiet J's. Has everybody else got two quiet J's? One's obviously a photo because he's got two different shirts on. And I know J's amazing, but that's too amazing.
No, I'm actually in two places, Regina, believe it or not. Is this Gentle Healing is giving me psychic powers. It's amazing. No, I think your screen's not updated. I'm only here once.
Oh, really? Well, I don't know how to update my screen then, but that's okay. It's unimportant. I know which one is talking and which one is just staring at me. So what I'm going to do then is just start by sharing what I have collected. And you guys know how this game goes. You can jump in at any time and share in the conversation. In fact, I'll also be asking you to share at certain times. But I'm going to start by opening up to 586.
Regina?
Yes.
It's Nancy.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi. I just want to say that this is my first pair of hiking boots in 30 years.
Oh, how cute. How cute. Now, are you practicing walking in them this week so you don't get blisters?
No, I didn't think of that.
Yeah, you walk around the house and stuff in them. Okay. We're not going to be doing any long hikes or anything, but walk around the house and stuff in them and break them out a little bit before you come.
Okay.
That'll be better if they're brand new. Yeah, Nancy's coming here next week for the, and that I will tell you, it is called Releasing the I Am Bad Belief. But it's so funny when people write to me or talk to me about this retreat because they say, hey, I want to come to the I Am Bad retreat. It's not that. It's the Releasing the I Am Bad retreat. But yeah, it's kind of a long title. But I just think it's funny how everybody's calling it the I Am Bad retreat. But yeah, Nancy's coming. Francine is coming, as well as Shauna is coming. As well as three others. So we have six ladies that are registered for this retreat. So it'll be a pretty full house. So we're looking forward to seeing y'all on Monday. That'll be great. And by then, I'll be living in my new house. I'm here in La Vida now because, although if I if I show you, you can probably tell I haven't even started. The house just looks like a house. But I am here because I'm supposed to be packing. Because I'm supposed to be moving on Friday, so eventually that's going to have to start happening. But so far, I've just been working, sitting here working. But I think after Gentle Healing tonight, that's when the packing will begin. So, all right then. So the quote that I wanted to look at first is quote 586. Don't ask the mind to confirm what is beyond the mind. Direct experience is the only valid confirmation. And I have a note here to look at the RDA journal. So let me share my screen and we'll do that.
Doubts arise. When doubts arise, the seeker may seek evidence that the truth is true and can be reached or realized. The seeker may seek out enlightened people in order to determine if enlightenment is real or not. The seeker may seek out stories of awakening and descriptions of enlightened experience. The seeker may look at accounts of enlightenment with a critical eye to determine if this is enlightenment or not. There may be a conscious or unconscious purpose of determining if enlightenment is indeed possible or if enlightenment is a farce. All of this outer seeking with the intention of verifying enlightenment or understanding enlightenment is a waste of time. It distracts from the practice that leads one to the direct experience of enlightenment. Do not waste time. Stay focused on the practices given by inner guidance during times of inward focus on awakening. So I think what I'll do is just see if anybody has anything they would like to share at this point. Let me go ahead and read the quote one more time. Don't ask the mind to confirm what is beyond the mind. Direct experience is the only valid confirmation. I can't see everyone when I'm sharing my screen, so if you have something to share, please just speak up. Okay. So I guess probably one reason why this stood out to me, this particular quote, is because I made a mistake earlier on my spiritual path in that there was an individual that I wanted to get close to because I thought that individual was enlightened. And what I didn't see until later was that what caused me to want to get close to this individual was actually doubt. I was seeking proof that the truth was true, proof that there really was an enlightenment. And what was interesting about this particular situation, and of course this person still claims to be enlightened, and I don't want to say that I could possibly actually know whether that's true or not. But my experiences with this person were very, very negative. It was a very controlling person who was very clear with me that he wanted followers, very clear with his followers that he wanted them to give all of their money, very clear that he wanted to be obeyed. And what I found within myself, first of all, was I had to make a choice because my inner guidance was pointing away from him. And I had to make a choice whether I was going to follow my inner guidance or follow this outer person who claimed to be enlightened and told me that I was only listening to the ego in me, thinking that it was Holy Spirit and that he was the Holy Spirit. Obviously, I chose to follow my own inner guidance. That's why I'm here today. But when I went back and I looked at what was going on there, what I found through honest inquiry was that the real reason I even went on this little side trip, which, you know, all side trips have benefits too. You always learn from them. So in that way, nothing's a waste of time. But what the reason I went on this little side trip was because I had a fear that the truth was not true, that enlightenment was a farce, and I wanted to be very close to someone who was enlightened so that it could be proven to me. And me in this sentence really is mind, isn't it? So it could be proven to me that enlightenment was true, enlightenment was genuine, the truth was true. And what's interesting about this particular quote is that it says very clearly, don't ask the mind to confirm what is beyond the mind. Direct experience is the only valid confirmation. So So what that means is the best way for me to, for lack of better words here, the best way for me to find out if the truth is true or not is to put all of my attention on my own awakening. And to try and to forget about comparing others, looking for enlightenment out there, looking for some kind of proof of truth out there. You know, some people read lots and lots of books and they compare what the different books say to see if they're consistent or if they contradict each other. You know, there's all kinds of little games we play with ourselves out of this unconscious doubt. And again, we're trying to prove to the mind, we're trying to get the mind to decide, yes, it's absolutely true, the truth is true. And this quote has just told us that will never happen. So I think it's good to just kind of realize that the mind cannot verify the truth. It can never be proven to the mind that the truth is true. And so we might as well just forget about it and go on with the practices that we are told will lead to that direct experience, because that direct experience is the only proof that there is. Now I'll pause to see if anybody has a comment now. All right, I'm not hearing anything. So let's go on to the next quote that I picked out. 590, and I also have, let's look at that in the RDA journal, so let me jump over there.
Gina?
Yes, please go ahead.
I was trying to unmute myself, but I was having a hard time there. So, you know, I looked at my journal entry, and you know, one of the things I commented, my direct experience seems to be that I'm a person. Okay, so, and of course, that's what I've been taught all my life. And yet there's that sense within me that that might not be true. But that's my experience now. The fact that we do have examples of people that we believe to be awakened, to me, is confirmation, is about as close to confirmation that awakening exists as I could see. That's it.
All right. Thank you very much, George. Thank you. When you're here for the fall retreat, I will lead you in some meditations and see if I can't help you have the direct experience yourself. How's that? Okay, good. Good. All right, let's look at number 590. Questioner, how does one shape one's character? Maharaj, by seeing it as it is and being sincerely sorry. This integral seeing feeling can work miracles. Now, first of all, I remember when reading the journals, there was a wide variety of reactions, I guess is the word I'll use, to sincerely sorry. Some people saw sincerely sorry as being something very helpful, and some people saw sincerely sorry as something kind of negative and maybe even something that should be avoided. You know, I'm remembering in the MPP Buddhist class when we read The Heart of Buddha's Teaching by Thich Nhat Hanh, there's a term that Thich Nhat Hanh uses. You know, they're always referring to like, you know, the, oh gosh, my mind is going totally blank now. Things like right diligence, right livelihood. You know, they have all these right things that you do. And one of the terms that Thich Nhat Hanh uses is right regret. And I think that this sincerely sorry and this right regret that Thich Nhat Hanh talks about are the same thing. And I think they can be extremely useful. The problem, the reason some people don't see that so clearly is because of the confusion of the I am bad thought, which means you all got to jump on a plane and come here next week. The I am bad thought links regret or sorry with guilt. And that is not a true link. That's an artificial link that is created by the belief in the I am bad idea. Right regret or sincerely sorry is recognizing a mistake, recognizing an error with absolute clarity and knowing that you don't want to go there anymore. Knowing that, you know, it's learning. It's wisdom. And in fact, without right regret or without being sincerely sorry, no one would ever grow or change in any way, not only in a more positive character, which is what the question was about, but also in spirituality. For example, without right regret or being sincerely sorry, you are probably never going to give up listening to the mind. At some point, it has to arise in you that you just don't want to go there anymore. And Bentinho, one way that Bentinho words this, he words it differently, and this may connect better with some of you. He says you grow tired of it. That's a very similar thing. You grow tired of it. But basically, something in you has to become done. And that has to be very sincere. Like, I am done with this. You know, like, let's imagine that you are a person who gets annoyed easily. You know, you get annoyed in traffic. You get annoyed with your family. You get annoyed when the waitress is too slow or the bank teller is too slow or whatever. The reason you continually get annoyed is because you actually believe, maybe on an unconscious level, but you actually believe that by getting annoyed, you're going to get something. You're going to get your way. And so you continue to get annoyed thinking that you are going to receive something from this annoyance. And until that changes to being sincerely sorry, having right regret, or just getting tired of being annoyed, right? Until you are done with that, you will probably continue to get annoyed. So I just kind of wanted to comment on that. And let me read the quote one more time, and then we'll look at the journal. So again, questioner, how does one shape one's character, Maharaj? By seeing it as it is and being sincerely sorry. So again, that could be annoyance, just being sincerely sorry that I get annoyed and being done with getting annoyed. Again, this is not with guilt. This is with awareness that I'm just done with this. This is not serving me anymore, right? And then you can begin to start letting go of those thoughts that drive you to be annoyed. By seeing it as it is and being sincerely sorry, this integral seeing feeling, notice how he calls it a seeing feeling, right? It's an awareness. That's what the word seeing means. It's a seeing feeling, and the feeling is the done. It's almost like a, you know, a word I sometimes use is a soul decision, right? A soul decision. This is an integral seeing feeling. This integral seeing feeling can work miracles. Yes, Jay.
Just to echo that on mine, I put, when I hear, what I hear is repentance is easy when I no longer have a desire to be that way. Sincerely sorry is the doorway to letting go of the false way of thinking. Willingness to let go opens the door to a true shift, a miracle. You don't desire it anymore. Funny in the healing of perception. Yeah.
Can you pause for a second and just read that a little more slowly? Because at least for me, when you read too fast, my brain can't catch it all. I'm getting old now. Yay. So if you can start over and read a little more slowly since I can't see the words, I'd appreciate it.
What I hear as in what I hear in repentance is that it is easy when I no longer have a desire to be that way.
Yes.
Being sincerely sorry is the doorway to letting go of that false way of thinking. Willingness to let go opens door to a true shift, a miracle. You don't desire it anymore, period. Funny, in the healing of perception context of the ACIM teachings, M using the same terminology as ACIM.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. And that's it exactly, Jay. Thank you. And let me go ahead and read from the RDA journal. Do not be afraid of ego. Do not be afraid to look directly at it with awareness, seeing it as it is. Do not be afraid to be honest, completely honest, about the types of thinking ego promotes. As you begin to see ego clearly, look closer. Notice with a sharp eye the nature of ego exactly as it is. Seeing ego clearly, one tires of it. Tiring of ego, one lets go of it. For who would hold on to a pest when it has been seen that the pest has absolutely no value? Right? So again, there's a great advantage to what Nisargadatta is calling being sincerely sorry. Or, you know, what I called here, getting tired of it, what Bentinho calls being getting tired of it, what Thich Nhat Hanh calls right regret, which really is just a done. I'm just done. You know? I mean, how do you quit being an alcoholic, or how do you quit smoking cigarettes, or how do you quit being a drug addict, or how do you quit gambling? At some point, you got to be done. Yeah, I'm just done. I'm sincerely sorry. You know, it's the same kind of thing with the ego. So does anybody have any comments, anything they want to share? And if so, again, I can't see everybody, so please just speak up. All right, then, let me see what's next. 592, and I'll stop my share because we're not going to be looking at the journal right now. So 592, this is not hard to believe, especially, I mean, I watched the news tonight, and they were discussing three mass shootings that have occurred in the last week. Therefore, this sentence is pretty easy to understand. Insanity is universal. Right? Insanity is universal. Sanity is rare. Yet there is hope, because the moment we perceive our insanity, we are on the way to sanity. I love that sentence. The moment we perceive our insanity, we are on the way to sanity. And this really reminds me of what I just read to you from the RDA journal about don't be afraid to look at ego. And by the way, and this really isn't a commercial for next week's retreat, but by the way, what makes you afraid to look at the ego is the I am bad belief. Right? When that I am bad belief is really strong and unconscious and believed, you're afraid to look, because what you're really afraid you're going to find out is it's true. I'm bad. You know, it's true.
Regina.
And that makes you afraid to look. Yes, Nancy.
I just want to say the I am bad belief is so unconscious. So unconscious. I'm going to say that again. It is so unconscious. And that's why I'm doing the retreat next week. I mean, just the realization of how deep and how hidden it has been my entire life. And I mean, I'm seeing stuff now, but I just really need to dredge it up as much as possible. So I just wanted to say that it is just so unconscious.
Thank you. You know, it's interesting. A few weeks ago, there was a person who started a conversation with me by telling me that he doesn't understand why I teach about this I am bad belief, because it's something he's never experienced. It's something he doesn't understand at all. He doesn't know why other people feel it. You know, it's just never been a part of his experience. And then he spent about the next hour telling me how bad I was, which I thought was rather funny. So that's, you know, that's when the I am bad belief is completely unconscious, that's what you do, is you project it onto others. You know, people sometimes ask me, how do you know when you're really free of the I am bad belief? And the way you know you're really free of the I am bad belief is when you don't see anyone as guilty or unworthy or shameful or not good enough, right? Right? Not anyone. You know, you may see the mistakes they make. You know, you may see the suffering they cause, like these three young men who did these mass shootings in the last week. But you don't see them as guilty or bad or unworthy. Confused, believing ego, but not guilty or bad or unworthy, right? So yeah, it's a belief. It's a belief that, you know, you have until you don't. And when you don't, you really don't. Right? then you're free of it. But yeah, insanity is universal. Sanity is rare. Yet there is hope, because the moment we perceive our insanity, we are on the way to sanity. What this really means is the moment our insanity is no longer hidden. Right? Because most people, you know, most of you all anyway, maybe not all of you all, I don't know you all personally, I can't say for sure, but most people really regard themselves as sensible. They regard their mind as knowing. You know, like if my mind says you're an idiot, you're an idiot. You know, right? Because that's what my mind says, and it's right. It's always right. You know, that's that's the way most people think. They think they're sensible. They think their mind is right, you know, which means they do not see their insanity at all. When you start to notice that your mind is saying, wait, she's an idiot, he's an idiot, you know, oh my God, they're all idiots, oh my God, this is crazy. Ooh, that's when you're starting to wake up, right? When you no longer see your, you go, oh my God, this is crazy. My mind is calling everyone an idiot, you know? That's the beginning of the end. You've shifted then from believing that your mind is wise, believing that you are wise, to seeing that the mind is just a crazy, crazy chatterbox. And NTI has a very similar teaching. It doesn't use the word insanity. It uses the word confusion. And I don't remember the exact quote, but the gist of the quote is that the moment, you know, the moment that you see that the mind is nothing but confusion is the moment that you're set free. Because you no longer have to listen to it. I do remember that part's a quote. You no longer have to listen to it. So again, this quote, insanity is universal, sanity is rare, yet there is hope. Because the moment we perceive our insanity, we are on the way to sanity. And again, that reminds me of that last journal entry we looked at. Do not be afraid to look at the ego, right? Do not be afraid to discover its insanity. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid to discover, pardon this language, but how evil and vicious it is. Because it is, you know? And sometimes that evil viciousness is very, very unconscious. Like you might not even realize that you want to kill your spouse or kill your mother-in-law. You may realize it too, but you might not. You might just think again that they're annoying as heck, right? But at some point when you really get down in there and you look at what the ego is whispering like, kill them. I hate them. I hate them. I hate them. They're always in my way. Kill them. Kill them. You know, that's what it's whispering. And you're responding to it with annoyance. And when you see this, when it comes out and you see it, that's when you can choose not to listen to it. But when it's hidden way behind other stuff, you accidentally listen to it all the time. And you may not act it out, thank God. You know, you're not one of the ones who grabs the gun and goes shoots people, but you're actually responding to the same voice in a more, you know, socially acceptable way. We all have the same voice. I remember when, and I'm not going to comment on whether O.J. Simpson killed his ex-wife or not. I don't want to get into that because everybody has their own opinion. But I remember the day that he was arrested, charged with killing his ex-wife. And I don't know if you guys remember, but that was a shock. Because to almost everybody in America, O.J. Simpson was a hero. Heroes don't do stuff like that, right? So it was a shock when he was arrested and accused of killing his wife and her friend. And I remember talking to my dad on the phone. I said, I just can't believe OJ would do something like that. And my dad said to me, we've all got that possibility within us. It's just a matter of the right circumstances arriving at the wrong time. You see? My dad was completely right. Yeah. But again, it's not seeing the insanity that drives us. It's seeing the insanity, letting it arise, noticing how evil and vicious it gets, noticing how crazy it is with awareness. And even with that seeing feeling that we saw in the previous quote, right? That sincerely sorry, that right regret. That we can begin to, then you begin to actually hear it on the surface, you know, like, so if you get annoyed at your husband for something, you'll hear the voice say, just kill him. And you go, whoa, you know, whoa. And once it's really conscious like that, it's much easier to just ignore it because you see the insanity. So don't be afraid to look at the ego. Don't be afraid to be honest about it. And one thing that's really important, again, this is what my dad said about O.J. Simpson. One thing that's really important when that nastiness starts coming up is to remember it's not just you. It's all of us, right? It's the ego. Because the ego tries to say it's just you. And if you believe that, you'll repress it again because you can't bear that, right? You can't bear being the one extra evil, vicious, nasty one, right? But if you realize it's just the ego and it's repressed in everyone and everybody's acting out in it in one way or another, again, not everybody's grabbing a gun and shooting people, but you know, they're flipping people off in traffic. And I mean, what do you think is going on when you're flipping somebody off in traffic? What do you think is driving? It's the kill them. Right? Kill him. You know, all you did was flip a bird, but you wanted to kill him. That's what's going on. You know, it's that same impulse. So let that come up. See that insanity. Don't be afraid to journal it. Don't be afraid to look right at it and be willing to be supremely sorry or right regret or tired of it or see it as insanity. See it as having no value, whatever works for you along those lines so that you can be done with it. Okay, so I'll pause and see if anybody wants to share.
Yeah, I got flipped off today and it was an accident. And I had a, Just a little rising of emotion in my mind, like the start of like aggression, you could say. But it was like it just went up and disappeared. Like it didn't,
but
I didn't engage.
But the aggression came up. That's really cool.
See, so yeah, and I'm committed to not repressing anything. So, you know, I'm not a bad person because the aggression came up. It just happened. And,
so I have a curiosity question. Were you flipped off in La Vida or did you go to Pueblo?
I'll let you answer that one. Yeah, it's Pueblo. Yeah.
Sounds like a Pueblo thing to me.
It is. It's, yeah, of course, that would never happen here. But yeah. People are incredibly sweet here. Yeah, that was a Pueblo thing. And it's like Pueblo. the energy I got from this person is they were like ready for violence. I mean, it was it's crazy. I mean, talk about insanity. Yeah.
Super. Thank you. Any other comments on this particular quote? Yes, Don.
I just want to reiterate what you said, because with everything that recently happened with the gunmen and all these shootings, it was the first time I saw with both clarity on both sides, the DA and also the shooters, that they were both of them innocently believing their thoughts, whether it was the DA who wants to see him, you know, have the death penalty, or the gunman. Like, I'm so curious, like, what was he thinking right before he pulled that trigger? Because it's the thoughts. Because if we think about what the ego is, it's just a collection of beliefs and thoughts that make up the self concept. That's all it is.
Yeah.
So he was believing a whole bunch of thoughts that obviously were not true that caused the behavior. So I just think that is radical. There's been a radical shift in my mind, because for the first time I can have compassion for both sides and understanding, like, wow, like what your dad said was so perfect.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's, something is definitely shifting inside of me.
Perfect. That's because of all that work you're doing with the I Am Bad Thought. You're doing very, very good work. You know, that's the advantage of having walked that path already, is I can tell when somebody is also walking it. You know what I mean? You know, you recognize where you've been, and you're definitely walking that path of letting go of that belief. So you're doing a wonderful job. I love the work that you're doing. I've told Dawn that I love listening to her teaching. If any of y'all get the opportunity to do that, I recommend it too, because she is doing some very sincere work all on her own with her own inner guidance, and she's doing great work. And right now, I think you're on Sundays at 7 p.m., is that correct? No, I'm at 7 p.m. You must be at 6 p.m. 6 p.m. Eastern time? She's going to look.
Yeah, 6 p.m. Sundays.
Yeah, 6 p.m. Sundays. So if you're around at 6 p.m. Eastern time on Sundays, listen to Dawn. Plus, she's very, very animated in the way that she shares, which is very interesting. You know, I mean, it's more interesting than listening to somebody with a very monotone voice, right? So she's very easy to listen to. Yeah. All right, let me look and see what I have next.
Regina.
Yes, go right ahead, caller. Oh, who is this?
Yes, it's Kieran. I have a question about the I Am Bad Thought. I just watched Lion King last night, and it seems to be all the rage in the theaters, this new Lion King, and I could hear children crying when the father died. Are you familiar with that movie?
Yeah, I saw Lion King last weekend.
And someone had said to me, oh, there's a lot of evil in that show. And I had seen it as an animated one. But I have to say, last night, I really, just when you were talking about that I Am Bad Thought, I was just thinking, you know, that the twisted, you know, the uncle trying to you know, be the leader of the clan and you know, killing. I was just thinking, would you see that as a collective repressed I Am Bad Thought?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, you know, they say the ego is responsible for all of the suffering in the world, but the I am bad thought, that particular aspect of the ego, is probably responsible for most of it, not all of it. You know, the ego has other aspects too, but boy, that I am bad thought, because you project it onto others, and you deny it by thinking I'm better than others, I'm more right than others. You know, so it just has so many faces. And it's a total attack thought. It's either attacking you or someone else all the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't remember that it was so dark. And I think maybe because it looked so real, you know, the characters looked so real instead of animated. But I just thought of the millions of people watching that, taking the children to that. Like, I know in the theater I was at, I could hear the children crying in some parts, and I saw people leaving. So I just wondered about that in the context of what's being discussed right now.
Well, yeah, whenever we create villains, that's a projection of the I am bad thought. And, you know, there's a villain in probably every single Disney movie, a very bad, evil person, or in this case, a lion.
Yes. Okay, well, thanks. I just wondered about how we collectively create these things with the idea that this is entertainment, but it's kind of exposing what's underneath, you know, underneath.
Well, and again, I don't want to get into personal opinions. I want to observe from a non-opinion point of view, and so hopefully you all can hear me with in that way. But of course, as you know, we have had these three shootings in the last week. And in addition to having the shooters blamed, you know, we get the president blamed. You know, all of that blame is the I am bad thought. Mm-hmm. Every bit of it. Mm-hmm. Only the I am bad thought can blame. And of course, the people who support the president might blame the media. Same I am bad thought. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter which way you play the game, you're playing the game.
Right. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. And nice to hear your voice, by the way. All right. So anything else on 592? All right, let's go to 594. Oh, this is a good one. So friggin' true. So friggin' true. Oh, my goodness. The false self wants to continue pleasantly. Oh, my God. I don't even know what else to say about that one. I mean, it's just like, oh, my gosh. I mean, that's one of our biggest problems, to be honest. Right there. You know, that's probably even a bigger problem than the I am bad thought. Right there, the false self wants to continue pleasantly. You know, NTI Revelation chapter 1 talks about how, in fact, let me just pull up NTI because I don't have it with me. I'm here in La Vida. I love grabbing books better than I love reading online, but let me go ahead and just see if I can pull up NTI. Fortunately, I'm the scribe, so I have the manuscript on my computer. NTI manuscript right here. All right, let me share the screen. And let's look for all right. Look at this right here, verses 9 to 11. Guidance comes to you for one purpose, and that is to lead you from the world. There may also seem to be another purpose, which is happiness within the world. The two purposes are not the same. Do not be fooled by the similarities in their sound. One purpose leads to death, while the other, most surely, leads to life and knowledge of life. So look at this other purpose, happiness within the world. And then look at this quote, the false self wants to continue pleasantly. You know, I have met so many people since I started this spiritual path who called it guidance when ideas were appearing in their mind that gave them what they thought they wanted to be happy. You know, that's what this is referring to. The false self wants to continue pleasantly. And that is not what this spiritual path is about. Right? Talk about a trick, and a trick we are so willing to fall for. I don't know if I have anything else to say about that. I just kind of wanted to highlight it again because it's such a trick. It's something we need to keep in front. If we really want to awaken, it's something we need to remain aware of all the time. This is not about happiness in the world. Not that you won't be happy, you understand? But it's not about happiness in the world. It's about awakening to truth. They're not the same thing. So any questions, comments, or even concerns? Because people want this so bad, this can be a concern.
Hey, Regina, it's Ron.
Hi, Ron.
It's kind of...
Whoops, we lost you. There you go, Oops. You're back.
Okay, I'm getting a weaker signal. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
For some reason, it says Jay McCormick under your name, but we know you're Ron, so go ahead.
No, I had no idea. Jay. So, boy, I can really say some outrageous things then. You know, I find this journey to be extremely peaceful and satisfying, and maybe I had my quota of just having enough of the other. I don't know. But sure, the false self wants to continue pleasantly, but I'm not aware how that works. I don't know anybody that's actually consistently experiencing living pleasantly. That's not on this path. They may want that, but I don't see that fulfilled. You know, I know people that have won, U.S. title golf championship opens, and they're the most miserable person in the world the next morning. There's nothing that's going to bring you that kind of peace and stability. So, I totally get the part that if what you're trying to, well, I don't know. If your impetus is if you get on the spiritual path because you're really seeking happiness, I don't know. There's a part of that rings true to me. Except I wouldn't use the word happiness.
Well, let's say let's say happiness with circumstances, or happiness with people, or happiness with
sure. things. Okay. Yeah.
As opposed to just happiness, right? You see
yeah.
the difference.
And I use the word peace because to me, happiness has maybe a slightly different connotation. I think there's probably more of us that have been pushed by pain as opposed to pulled by love. Although I think for many of us, we've been able to make that switch over at this point in time. But the false self is just lost. It doesn't know how to live pleasantly.
Yeah. It doesn't know how to. And again, that's what it wants. And, you know, sure. again, the trick on the spiritual path is it's really a matter of here's the difference. there came a point when I made a decision that I was going to be happy no matter what. That's different than seeking happiness with the world. That means, my house burns down, my family leaves me, my friends think I'm dishonest, and you know, all you guys turn away from me, decide I'm a big fake. You know, just list everything we can list, like Job. And I choose to be happy. You see, that's not happiness with the world. Happiness with the world is when, for example, I'm seeking getting you all to like me. That's happiness with the world. Happiness with the world is when I'm seeking the perfect relationship, you know, seeking, you know, just the perfect day, day after day, you know, the day has to be a certain way. Yeah.
Totally agreed. I mean, I was a goal setter and accomplisher on steroids, and it still didn't make me happy. Just end up being a end in itself. You had to just had to you just had to continue on that treadmill to get your next, you know, little, you know, yeah, challenge, because it was working the challenge that somehow gave a little bit of sense of purpose. But you never were happy, or I was never happy or at peace once I actually accomplished any of those objectives, no matter what they may have looked like.
Yeah. And in fact, you know, one of the things that I had to watch, because I went through that, what I call that 5-year purification period, which, you know, although I knew I was healing and in that way I was satisfied with the 5-year purification period, now I'm realizing the other Jay I was seeing is Ron. Isn't that, I got Jay's picture now on Ron's camera. Isn't that weird? I'm being distracted. I can't even think of what I'm trying to talk about. But after
a symbol of oneness.
Yeah, when you turned your camera off, we're looking at Jay. It's so weird. Now we know it's you. Okay.
That's funny.
It is funny. But when I went through that 5-year purification period, although in a way I wasn't suffering because I knew what I was doing and I was happy to be going through it. In another way, I mean, I really was suffering. There was a lot of pain coming up, a lot of unworthiness coming up, a lot of fear coming up. And somehow, you know, because I wanted to be free, I was working very hard, writing with spirit every day, practicing, you know, whatever spirit told me to. I was really giving it my all. But then what I noticed was I came to this peace, this happiness. And something in me began to kind of like just kick back, like, you know, the term resting on your laurels kind of comes to mind, right? And what I found was I had to find a new motivation for continuing on the spiritual path, because the past motivation that got me through the purification period was no longer working now that there wasn't any more pain. So I would say that part of me that wanted to just say, okay, yay, the pain's over, you know, we're good now, that also was the false self wanting to continue pleasantly. Right? So just be aware of these, you know, little tricks again. And any other comments on that one before we move on? Oh, we're not going to move on. Guess what? It's 7:28. So you can tell, again, we got all the way up to 594. Why don't we go ahead and look at Mark's journal real quick in the 2 minutes that we have left, 596. So I think I've got that pulled up, so that's easy to do. Let me share my screen. Go over here to Mark's journal. It's right here. This was the little quote that simply said, "The mind is a cheat." Let's look at what Mark wrote. Inner wisdom, how does the mind cheat yourself? This is inner wisdom speaking. How does the mind cheat yourself? Let us count the ways. Number one, it's convinced you that you are a body. Number two, it's convinced you that your perceived narrow self-interests should prevail. Number three, it's convinced you that you have certain needs and allows the desire to fulfill these needs to totally dominate you at times. Number four, It continuously pulls you out of awareness by screaming urgently at you. Number five, it makes these incessant, urgent pulls of your consciousness seem important. Ooh, that's a big trick right there. What I'm focusing now is important, right? Number six, it's convinced you that a calm approach of listening to inner guidance for daily actions is not possible for you because you cannot hear it clearly enough. Number seven, it's convinced you that yourself must worry constantly about the state of your country and world in order to fix the problems rather than trusting the larger cosmos to do so through its own evolutionary process. Number eight, it's convinced you not to trust the cosmos. The time has come for self to become your eyes, to see all these ways that the mind and ego cheat you. Claim responsibility for yourself now. The only way to accomplish this is live in and from the awareness of self and, rather than following the moment-to-moment guidance of the ego, routinely ask self what you are to do next. And I will close with that. So thank you, everyone. And I'll see you for Gentle Healing next Tuesday. I have a couple teachings tomorrow and a teaching on Sunday, so I may see some of you before then. And, of course, I'll see some of you in La Vida next week for the Releasing the I Am Bad retreat. Bye.